The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Welcome to a Thursday. And, it was an okay day until... Until I realized that, it's the same shit, different day. This time I'm talking about the Democratic Party. What else? I've been trying really, really hard to be positive, right? To put on a happy face, as the song goes, to show my team spirit that I'm all in. To get Donald Trump out of office. You see, that's where I have to go. I'm watching every night of the convention. I actually like it more than I've liked past regular conventions because they're so corny. They're so stupid. I get the feeling that people come from all over America and like, ooh, we're going to a convention so we can get to be stupid. We get to get drunk and act silly and wear stupid hats. And this time, well, most of us are still at home. Those of us who are responsible, who care about staying healthy and keeping the people around us healthy. Necessity is the mother of invention, they say. And I think for the most part, the Democratic Party as an organization has done a really good job turning the proverbial lemons into lemonade. And, there are many people saying this is how they should do conventions from here on out. And I don't necessarily disagree. I think there's got to be sort of a merging of the two, a melding, if you will. But, the roll call the other night was a prime example of something that went right. Last night, we had a lot of women speaking because, 2018 was the year of the woman. 2020 should really be the year of the woman. And, again, I'm trying to stay positive. I'm getting into the speeches. I thought Barack Obama last night hit it out of the ballpark. He was just brilliant. And look, those of you who've listened to me for a long time know that I've not always been the biggest fan of Barack Obama. I think he wimped out on us. I think he took the promise of what could be and watered it down because he wanted everyone to like him. He thought the Republicans would play ball with him. They won't. He tried too hard, even in the face of the brick wall that is the Republican obstructionists. And what's interesting is, with Donald Trump, everything is projection. He takes what's coming at him and what he knows he's living and projects it out to everyone else. So when he talks about the Obama administration was the most corrupt in history, no, you know what? It was actually quite possibly the least corrupt. There were no indictments in the Obama years. There were very few investigations except for the bullshit Benghazi Tourette's. And when you think about it, four people died in Benghazi, and they shouldn't have. I'll give you that. But Donald Trump has had over 170,000 Americans die on his watch. We talked about 3,000 Americans died during 9/11. 170,000 and counting Americans dead. Those are individual people. And they blew a gasket over four dead in Benghazi. I was going to say in Ohio, but, different decade. Anyway, I'm trying to be an enthusiastic messenger here. And look, I'm damn enthusiastic about getting Donald Trump the hell out of there. He is as dangerous as everyone said, if not more. With each passing day, his lies, you feel him. It's like a trapped rabid animal, and the more trapped they are, the more desperate they become trying to get out and the more dangerous they become as well. So you have to make sure you don't get bitten. And right now, he's in a biting mode. He's lashing out at everything and everyone. Still lying, though that's nothing new for him. But the thing that has me so upset today is something that I'm actually going to hold off on going into great detail on until Howie Klein gets here, because I know he'll commiserate with me. But Howie and I have talked for this cycle, at least, about the Democratic Party's policy on primaries. And the DCCC, which is the House, it's the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. It's on the House side, not the Senate. The Senate is a different animal. The House side, under Nancy Pelosi, the DCCC is headed by a blue dog or a new Dem named Sherry Bustos, I believe, of Illinois. And she's pretty much as bad as they come. And they enacted this policy in this cycle that no one is to primary an incumbent Democratic member of Congress. If they do, they will be blackballed. And any vendors that work with that candidate will be blackballed. So for instance, you're a t-shirt vendor. You make union American made t-shirts and hats and buttons and stickers and shit like that. Well, if you run a company like that and you decide, for instance, that you are going to work with Marie Newman, let's use Marie Newman as an example, because she's one of those. She ran 2 years ago, almost beat Dan Lipinski, a horrible excuse for a Democrat of Illinois who had been in that seat for years and years and years. And Marie Newman came very close to beating him in 2018, and thankfully she ran again. And guess what happened in the 2020 primary? She won. But under this DCCC policy, any vendor that worked with her on this rogue campaign to primary the worst, or certainly one of the worst, so-called Democrats in Congress, would be blackballed, could not get work with any other party-sanctioned campaign or group or business. And so a lot of vendors had to tell these candidates that were primarying really bad so-called Democrats that they couldn't work with them anymore because it would cost them basically their business. But she persevered. So Marie Newman, she soldiered on through and she won and she beat Dan Lipinski, and she's going to go to Congress. And Jamal Bowman, who beat Elliot Engel, despite the pronouncements of the DCCC and Nancy Pelosi. Again, this all comes from the top. And in the House of Representatives, if you're a Democrat, Nancy Pelosi is the leader. Sherry Bustos can say and do whatever she wants, but it all comes down to Nancy Pelosi, who has kept this policy in place. You shall not primary a sitting congressman, woman. That's how we roll. So what happened today? Well, Nancy Pelosi endorsed Joe Kennedy over Ed Markey. So this is in a Senate race, mind you. So Nancy Pelosi is sticking her nose in the other house's business. So Nancy Pelosi endorsed Joseph Kennedy, who is primarying Ed Markey, the sitting junior senator from Massachusetts. Excuse me? Really? And I got to say, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has my heart. Well, she did anyway, but she tweeted immediately when the news broke early this afternoon, no one gets to complain about primary challenges again. So, at DCCC, when can we expect you to reverse your blacklist policy against primary orgs? Because between this and lack of care around Ilhan Omar's challenger, it seems like less a policy and more a cherry-picking activity. You think? And so, of course, me being, you know, the person that I am, I retweeted this from Alexandra Rojas. Who is she with? She's with Justice Democrats. And she wrote, last year, as progressives launched campaigns to build on the momentum of AOC and Ayanna Pressley's victories, Speaker Pelosi stood by the DCCC policy to blacklist any organization that worked on primary challenges against incumbent Democrats. And yet Nancy Pelosi did just that today. And by the way, Chuck Schumer, who is the Senate leader, the Senate minority leader, he's behind Ed Markey. So there's a disconnect here. Nancy Pelosi is not only going against her policy of not primarying incumbents, but against her colleague who is her counterpart in the U.S. Senate. So, of course, I retweeted the story with a, hey, Speaker Pelosi, hypocrisy much? Hypocrisy is the Democratic Party. And going back to how I started, I'm trying to remain positive. But, you know, I'll cheerlead till the cows come home about the necessity to remove Donald Trump from office, because I believe that with every inch of my being. And here's where I struggle, because all the accolades heaped upon Joe Biden, I get it. I think he's a decent man. I do. I think his heart's in the right place. I think he's an anachronism. I think, and look, I didn't have a problem with Bernie Sanders' age, because it didn't affect the way he did his thing. And I can hear radios all over, people yelling, stop it. You got to be positive. And I am. I'm positive we need to get Donald Trump the hell out of office. And I just hope and hope and hope. And if I prayed, I would pray that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris keep their the blinders away. Understand that without the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, they're fucked. And they can't ignore us. And they can't diss us. There was another disturbing item that I read. Let me see if I can find it. I mean, there's a bunch of things that are kind of pissing me off today. One is about, well, apparently Joe Biden, one of his chief financial advisors is saying that his hands may be a little bit tied once he takes over the presidency because of the huge deficit that we're in, thanks to the Trump administration's mishandling of our finances. And something about us being broke. We're not broke. I got to tell you right now, I am reading Stephanie Kelton's book, The Deficit Myth. Stephanie Kelton, a major proponent of modern monetary theory, who says, screw the deficit. It's a myth, as the title of her book implies. So, you know, I've had her on the show many times. We've talked about MMT. We've talked about the fact that the government makes the money. We can't be broke. The coffers are not bare. It's a bullshit premise they're pushing. And it's the Republican mantra. And it makes no sense. So I'm rushing through reading the book, but hopefully we'll get Stephanie Kelton on in the next within the next week or so to go through why this is so disturbing. What we don't need is a centrist or moderate Joe Biden. We need the progressive Joe Biden that I know is hidden in there somewhere. So, sorry. So again, we're going to talk about that with Howie Klein and some other things. There's lots of other news happening today. Oh my God. Steve Bannon arrested, taken in by, and this is the beautiful part of it, post office officials. Seriously, that's who arrested Steve Bannon. It was, let me see if I can find it exactly as it's written here. He was arrested by U.S. Postal Service agents who went aboard this 150-foot yacht that he's been living on off the coast of Connecticut for a while. My husband is calling again. Why is... I shouldn't be hearing it like that. Okay, hi, David. Hello? I knew it was you, but for some reason I'm not hearing you through my speaker, and that's not good because actually I have Howie Klein coming up in a little while. Oh, I know. I need to fix my audio settings here, I bet. So David, well, talk for a second. I'm going to, while I try to get your,
can you hear
your, me? Well, I can hear you. Let me, go ahead. Keep talking.
Okay.
No? Yeah, talk.
To quote Frank Costanza, I got a lot of problem with you people.
Yeah, you got a lot of problem with us people. Hold on. I got to fix your, I got to fix your audio. Give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. It's going to come through, I think here. All right. Talk now.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
There you go. Okay, so what are your problems?
Okay, I mentioned this to you last night, but I would like your audience to also listen in on this grievance that I'm airing.
All right.
There has not been one single person throughout the 3 days of this shit show, they're calling a convention, who has said anything about you have to vote for down-ballot Democrats.
Actually, Obama did. Obama did last night. He did. I heard him.
Well,
but you're
I
right. They're not saying it enough.
Okay.
And you know what else they're not saying
they're
enough
not
of?
They're not saying it enough.
They're not saying that enough. And they're also not saying it's the Supreme Court, stupid. They're not talking about the fact that our judicial system have been taken over by these right-wing extremists because of them packing the courts, and none of them are talking about the Supreme Court and the judiciary.
Or down-ballot Democrats, and there's too many goddamn Republicans.
I agree.
We don't need these Republicans coming in and who lost their party to a fascist shit stain telling us how to run our party. So now it's on to feats of strength.
You have any feats of strength?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
If there's anybody who knows it, it should be you. I love you madly.
All right.
Thank you for indulging my
love you too, and thank you for helping me get the speaker going, so when I get Howie on the phone, it'll work fine. My husband, ladies and gentlemen, David Sloan. All right. You know what? Let's take a break. Because we can and we should, so our friends on the Progressive Voices Network could take care of some business. We'll be right back. It's the Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. Okay, while they're in commercials, let me play for you. I have got a couple of really great videos. And while we're talking, I mean, I've been in this Postal Service place. There's a new ad out by a group called Really American. I hadn't heard of them before. And it's the hashtag Trump Kills USPS. Let's see what they put together for us.
This is Trump's new Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy. A longtime Republican donor, DeJoy has given over $400,000 to Republicans just this year. Coincidentally, DeJoy and his wife have between $30 and $75 million in assets of direct competitors to the United States Postal Service. That's right, they own the competition. The man Trump put in charge of our post office has the most to gain from its destruction. So why would Trump choose someone like DeJoy to run the post office just 3 months before the election cheat millions of Americans out of their right to vote by mail? Trump can't win if Americans vote. Trump didn't choose DeJoy to run our post office. He chose DeJoy to destroy it.
You won't know the election result for weeks, months, maybe years after. Maybe you'll never know the election result. It'll be fixed. It'll be rigged.
Trump kills USPS. And that's a production of Really American. All right, at reallyamerican.com. Just one of the many groups making videos. I hesitate to call them ads. It is an ad. It's not running on TV anywhere. It's a web video. And that's what's gone viral this cycle. There are so many groups. We've talked about, you know, Midas Touch, who we love, who were on the show. The Lincoln Project, who I've got a love-hate relationship with. And then there's this other group, Republican Voters Against Trump. I played another one of their videos for you the other day. Let me share this one, because this one's really creative. It's called Before They Sucked Up. You can guess where this is going. Before they sucked up Republican voters against Trump, take it away.
I think the president was incredibly presidential tonight.
I'm proud to have worked hand in hand with President Trump.
I'll tell you what I really think about him. This man is a pathological liar.
I think he's a kook. I think he's crazy. I think he's unfit for office.
He's not a serious adult. He wasn't prepared.
He didn't hire very well.
Trump's candidacy is a cancer on conservatism.
Donald Trump is a delusional narcissist and an orange-faced windbag.
Friends, do not let friends vote for con artists.
This man is a pathological
delusional
con artist.
It's time to become Republican voters
Join
against Trump
other
again.
Republican voters against Trump at rvat.org.
All right.
Trump, I respectfully ask you to step aside.
Oh, that was Senator Mike Lee back, when he was still speaking truth to power. It's time to become Republican voters against Trump again, is how they tagged that ad. Works for me. How about you? One thing that was really interesting, let me bring the Progressive Voices people back. Hold on, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and hit that, and then we'll hit this, or this, or not. I don't know, nothing wants to work. Anyway, welcome back, the Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. So I played during the break. I played a couple of web videos of commercials, things that go viral, and that is a big part of media in 2020. In fact, since we're all stuck at home, I think even more so. Right? I'm fumfering here because I screwed up what I was going to do. Let me share this with you. We didn't do a funny yet, and while we're on the subject of the Postal Service, let's just enjoy a song because we can from Lauren Mayer.
Trump can claim that the polls are wrong, sings the same old song that his fans allow. With no shame, he supports with ease insane conspiracies. We're used to it now. But when he starts to screw with the mail, then everyone will feel the stress. So let's all save the USPS. Oh, we know that the schmuck DeJoy just wants to destroy our faith in the mail. We know. Trying to slow down delivery, but his villainy is about to fail. Cause thanks to Postal Service whistleblowers and diligent work by the press, we all can save the USPS. Call your senator or send a line. Ping your congressperson too. Text USPS 250-409. It isn't hard to do. Now it seems since they got some flack, this crazy attack, they're going to suspend.
Now it seems.
But machines, are they putting them back or the boxes they hacked? Machines, so let's act, my machines. Friend. Cause don't forget, a whole ton of pressure has already had some success. So let's all save the USPS. Our whole democracy may depend on what we do to stop this mess. So let's all save the USPS. This is a real-time sensitive crisis that we must act now to address. So let's all save the USPS.
Lauren Mayer. Yes. Yeah, let's all save the USPS. By the way, there was there's a news item. There was a hearing today from the Progressive Caucus where they determined that Steven Mnuchin is responsible for some of this new policy at the U.S. Postal Service. The hearing in the Senate, I believe it's a Judiciary Committee subcommittee, is tomorrow. And then Louis DeJoy, the new Postmaster General, appears before the House Oversight Committee on Monday. I can't wait. By the way, I'm sorry, I'm so disjointed today. I'm jumping around, but there's a lot going on. So regarding Steve Bannon's arrest, there was a little, you know, gaggle in the Oval Office where there's a press pooler there. And the press pooler was Jeff Bennett of NBC News. And he asked Donald Trump, you know, about all those, the best people that he hires. They're all getting arrested and indicted.
Respectfully, sir, it's not just Stephen Bannon, it's Roger Stone, it's Michael Flynn, it's Rick Gates, Paul Manafort, Michael Cohen.
Yep.
What's it say about your judgment that these are the kind of people
well,
who are
affiliated no idea.
With and the culture of lawlessness around people
well,
who are
there
involved
was great
in the
lawlessness in the Obama
campaign.
Administration. They
no,
spied on our campaign
there wasn't.
Illegally.
No, they didn't.
And if you look at all of the things and all of the scandals,
what
they
scandals?
Had, they had tremendous lawlessness.
Really? Where?
I know
who?
Nothing about I was not involved in the project. I have no idea who was. But
I
can tell
nothing.
You, I didn't know the people, the three people that were talked
nothing.
About were people that I did not know.
Yeah, I did not know.
I don't believe I ever
know.
Met them.
Yeah, I know nothing.
I know nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, he'd never met them. He doesn't know anything. And for a guy who, you know, can get an intelligence briefing at the snap of a finger from some of the best intelligence gatherers in the world, he certainly knows nothing. Apparently, he doesn't know about he doesn't know anything about this Manafort thing. He doesn't know about Roger Stone. He doesn't know about the bounties. He doesn't know about the Russian. Oh God, what's his name? The Alexei Navalny, the Russian opponent to Vladimir Putin. He is the opposition in Russia, and it looks like he's been poisoned. And he is in the hospital now. He became ill on a flight back to Moscow from Siberia. He's been jailed by Russian state prosecutors. He had other mysterious ailments that seemed to be poisonings, and this time it's not looking good. Donald Trump knows nothing about that either. Really, he was asked about it in this briefing today, and he said, I know nothing. I know nothing. I know nothing. Nothing.
I know nothing.
Nothing. That doesn't make any sense. And Michael McFaul, who was the U.S. ambassador to Russia, tweeted something to the effect of, he's the commander in chief. He would be briefed on this immediately. He just doesn't listen. He doesn't care. He also says he knows nothing about QAnon. He was asked about them yesterday because apparently he's been signaling his support.
Theory is this belief that you are secretly saving the world from this satanic cult of pedophiles and cannibals. Does that sound like something you are behind? Or
well, I haven't heard that, but... is that supposed to be a bad thing or a good thing?
Oh, my God.
If I can help save the world from problems, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to put myself out there. And we are, actually. We're saving the world from a radical left philosophy that will destroy this country. And when this country is gone, the rest of the world would follow. The rest of the world would follow.
You know, that's how you have to deal with him. Just put on the laugh track. All right, I'm about to get Howie Klein on the line, and I didn't deal with last night at all. But let me just say, Barack Obama, I think, perhaps delivered the speech of his career. He held nothing back. I could have seen him get even a little more pissed off. I'll share with you the final minute or so of Obama's speech.
Work will continue long after this election. But any chance of success depends entirely on the outcome of this election.
Yeah.
This administration has shown it will tear our democracy down.
You think?
If that's what it takes for them to win. So we have to get busy building it up by pouring all our efforts into these 76 days and by voting like never before for Joe and Kamala and candidates up and down the ticket.
You hear that, David?
So that we leave no doubt about what this country that we love stands for.
He did say, yeah.
And for all our days to come.
He said, candidates up and down the ticket.
Stay safe. God bless.
Stay safe. That was the gut punch. That was the stay safe. Because you know what we're in together. All right. I've yapped on enough. I think it's time to get Howie Klein on the line. And sadly, we'll talk about this with Howie too. Unfortunately, it looks like Debbie Wasserman Schultz is going to be mixing up those dirty Debbies for a while because she won her primary on Tuesday. Jen Perlman did okay. She got about 27% of the vote, which is big for down here and for a first-time candidate. But it means we're still stuck with Debbie. Oh, well. All right, let's drink.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein. Happy Thursday.
And you too. Happy Thursday, Nicole.
Thank you very much. We had a happy Tuesday here in many parts of Florida. And over the last month or so, you've been, I thought you were just sort of, doing this for me because I'm in Florida and want to help me make it not so duh-ish. So we had a couple of candidates on that Blue America were supporting in the primary. Our primary was Tuesday. We had two on the show over the course of the last month or so who both won their races, didn't they?
I don't remember who we had on. I know we had on Adam Christensen, and he won a race that shocked people.
Yes.
In North Central. Did we have Angie on?
We had Angie Nixon on. Angie, yes. Who was battling COVID, who was just so wonderful. We all fell in love with her, and she won.
And she won by a lot, by the way.
That's awesome.
And not only did she win by a lot, she ousted an entrenched incumbent who the Democratic Party was backing.
So
she did amazingly well. This is, even if she didn't have a terrible opponent, her opponent is so bad I can't even, her opponent is a racist, an anti-Semite, a psychopath who's really a Republican, but it's a black name, it's a black area, so she has to have a D next to her name,
uh-huh.
But she's supported by the Republican Party and the Democratic Party both. And Angie is, even without that, Angie would have been an amazing candidate because Angie is an incredible woman. And she came in and she won the race, a race that everyone laughed and said she had no chance to win. It's impossible.
Wow.
It can't happen.
Wow.
And she came in and she won with 60% of the vote.
That's incredible. That's wonderful.
It's amazing.
That's really encouraging.
It shows when someone can really get their message out to people and make people listen to what they have to say and make a credible case, they can win. And that's what she did. That's exactly what Angie did. And she won. And I was really excited.
Oh, my God,
and
that's
Adam
awesome.
As well. I mean, Adam. People say, like, what are you, crazy? He's 26 years old. He's running for Congress? It can't happen. Everyone said it can't happen, including, of course, the Florida Democratic Party. Florida Democratic Party.
Yes, that's right.
And he did. He beat two other candidates. It was fairly close, but he
He still won. They both conceded. And it was, what's interesting about what Adam did, which actually fascinated me. It was his plan all along. He told me from the first time we spoke. The county, it's hard to pronounce, Anchua, not Anchua. I can't pronounce
Alachua.
It anyway.
Alachua.
Alachua, thank you. Which has Gainesville in it.
Yes.
That's the blue base of the district.
Got it.
So that's a blue county. It always votes for Democrats nationally and statewide and locally. It's a Democratic county. So Democrats tend to just campaign there and just try to, you know, run up big margins there. And it doesn't work because all of the counties around it are, if some of them are rural, and they just go Republican. Well, what Adam decided to do was to just put all of his effort, not just, but to put most of his efforts in the rural counties, figuring that he's going to get
Alachua.
That he'll get Alachua by the end of the campaign, I'll remember. He'll get Alachua anyway in the general, which he will.
Right.
And so he put tons of effort into these rural counties, and he won them all.
Wow.
And that's why he's going to be a U.S. congressman. Now, this is Ted Yoho's district. Ted Yoho. He was one of the original teabaggers.
Yoho!
He's leaving.
Yep.
Do we hear weird sounds on the phone?
Yoho!
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He is leaving, and you know, some other crazy right-wing extremist was nominated among 10 crazy right-wing extremists who were running all interchangeable parts. So anyway, Adams' campaign has begun. But what I loved is that almost all of our candidates won, not just those two. Those two were the headliners, but up and down the ballot, our candidates won. And, you know, there's one that's still too close to call, but in the state house, but generally all of the candidates who we supported, almost all the candidates that we supported in this incredible try to do something that the Democratic Party itself refused to do, they all won.
Good. That's good news. Now, down here, I know you didn't, Blue America didn't endorse Jen Pearlman, who was running against Debbie Wasserman Schultz. But I'll tell you, for a first-time candidate going against someone like Debbie, she actually did okay. I mean, she got her ass handed to her, but I think she got like 27% of the vote or something like that, which is frankly not bad because it's very hard to make inroads down here. And, you know, Debbie has a monopoly on South Florida. So so I was encouraged to see that she at least garnered a good amount of votes.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. So all right, so that's Florida. Now we have
there's much more in Florida. There's some really good things happening.
Okay,
there.
Tell me.
You know, I mean from what I'm hearing, the creeps that run the Democratic Party are all going to be fired.
I hope so.
That's a really good thing because they've run it into the ditch and it's just sitting there and spinning its wheels.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy to know that they're on their way out. And then also, you know, one of the people who we set up, who in my mind, I don't know if he agrees with me, but in my mind, you know, one of the Miami-Dade counties, I'm sorry, one of Miami-Dade counties congressional district is held by the last Republican standing. It used to be all Republican, but the last one standing
is Mario Diaz-Balart.
Right, Mario Diaz-Balart. Mm-hmm. And that's a swing district. You know, Hillary and Trump, I can't even remember which one of them won, but it was within a point or two from each other. It's a classic swing district. And the Democratic Party and Debbie, whatever influence she has left, although I hear it's not a lot, but whatever there is, they decided not to run anyone against him. He has no opponent.
Oh, my God. I was wondering. I was trying to think who was running against him.
R plus 10 district.
Oh,
we're talking about basically an even swing district where, you know, if a Democrat is strong and makes a good case in a good Democratic year, they would win it.
Yeah.
But, and this is going to be that kind of a year where it's going to be a very, very strong Democratic year. But he doesn't have anything to worry about. He doesn't have an opponent. Thank you, Florida
Unbelievable.
Democratic Party.
Right.
Thank
that's, you, you know, Democratic that's Party. Malpractice.
I'm trying to control myself and not just go nuts right
well,
now.
Well, please, but, I am. That is malpractice. That is malpractice. And the Florida Democratic Party deserves to be run out of the state on a rail if they're not putting up a candidate in every district.
Well, they were certainly against that. They were completely against that. But the case that they tried to make when they were fighting with us about putting up a because we did a, you know, we did a real effort to have a candidate in every district, in every race, on up and down the ballot. And the case that they made is, oh, some of these districts are R plus 20. You can't win in those districts. Well, how about a swing district?
Uh-huh.
There were tons of them that they were opposing Democratic candidates in, and we would try to talk them out of it, and they would badmouth them, and they would tell donors not to give them money. These are horrible people. And by the way, one of the districts where we have a winner is a state senate district. Now, the Democrats have a chance. Under this crew, they can't do it. But if it was a decent party, or if the whole bunch of them, you know, fell into the sea and were never seen again, the Democrats could take back the Senate. The Florida House is too big a lift.
Uh-huh.
But they could take back the Senate. Right. So here we have a seat where there are two Republicans going at each other. So it's an open seat in Fort Myers area.
Okay.
And there's two Republicans going after each other. One of them is a mainstream conservative, and the other one is a neo-Nazi. So the Democrats want the mainstream conservative to win. Now, I'm not saying she's a liberal Republican. I'm saying she's a mainstream conservative Republican.
Right.
But you know, compared to a Nazi, well,
yeah.
She's fabulous.
Right.
And the guy, this guy Gary Farmer, who comes out of Debbie Wasserman Schultz's machine in Broward County, he is going to be the head of the Senate. The Democratic minority leader of
right.
the Senate.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He apparently does. Has just fears being the majority leader. He wants to be the minority leader. So he's done everything he could do to make sure there's no chance that there will be a Democratic majority. This guy has just worked his ass off to make sure that the Democrats will not regain the majority. Gary Farmer is his name.
Okay, good to know.
So Gary Farmer calls this woman Rachel Brown up, the candidate. And he tries to talk her into dropping out of the race. He calls her three times to try to talk her into dropping out of the race. He also calls other people around her, you know, friends and supporters, to try to talk them into talking her out of the race. Why? He's having an affair with a state rep, the woman who, Fitzhagen is her name. I think Heather Fitzhagen, but
okay.
I don't know if her first name is Heather. I can't remember. I'm walking around the house. I'm not near my computer. And Fitzhagen is the mainstream conservative who he wants to win, and he's stooping her.
Oh, lovely.
And she's fairly open about it. She doesn't hide it. Although I heard it from her hairdresser or nail person. But she and her husband have an open marriage.
All right.
And she is not. They don't pretend.
Right.
They're not hypocrites that way. He, on the other hand, won't say anything about it. He doesn't have an open marriage. He just, you know,
fucks around.
Gotcha. But in any case, he wants his girlfriend to win, this Republican. So he tries to talk Rachel Brown out of running. So she says no, she's running. He was furious. There's no support for her at all. I mean, this is an open seat. How do you not support a Democrat in an open seat? And as it turned out, Fitzhagen, his girlfriend, got 20-something percent of the vote, and it's the neo-Nazi who's the candidate anyway.
Wow. Okay. That's Florida.
Like that, up and down the state of Florida.
Yeah. That
unbelievable stories, one after the other, of the Florida Democratic Party's malpractice, as you called it.
Yes. That's why this is our theme song.
Boy, Florida.
Because it is. So, yeah, it's the cross we bear.
Oh, man.
All
anyway,
right.
Anyway, yes, Florida.
Florida. Well, okay, so we're done with Florida for right now because there's another story that I know.
I started off on a story about Mario Diaz-Balart.
All right. Mario Diaz-Balart, but he's now unopposed. Right. Yeah.
So he still has no opponent running against him. However, someone decided to challenge Daniel Perez. So the Republicans decide years and years in advance who the majority leader is going to be in the House and in the state Senate. And the guy who's supposed to take over, I think, in 2024 is Daniel Perez. And he's down in his House district is down in Mario Diaz-Balart's congressional seat.
Gotcha.
And so we are helping this guy named Robert Lynch, a young guy who's lived in Latin America for a good chunk of his life and speaks Spanish better than Daniel Perez does. And he's the candidate who will be opposing Perez. In my dreams, he will one day be running against Mario Diaz-Balart. Now, I'm saying that's in my dreams.
Right.
I don't know that Bob Lynch has the same dreams, but I'm telling you what my dream is.
But, you know, you're right, what you said before. There were three districts in Miami-Dade County. There was that, I think it's the 25th, unless they've moved them around, with Mario Diaz-Balart. His brother, Lincoln Diaz-Balart, was in another one, and Ileana Ross-Leighton was the third, and it was like the Three Musketeers.
Oh, and there was another one as well.
Yeah, but those were the three, you know, main ones. And Debbie would not, she would never go up against them. It was a whole thing. And finally, Lincoln.
She was the head of one of the committees of the DCCC that was supposed to elect new Democrats.
Yeah, the red to blue or something.
That was her job.
Okay.
Red to blue, right. She was the head of red to blue. Even though that was her job, she still refused to support the Democrats running against her Republican pals in the districts right around her. The districts that touched her base.
Yeah. Yeah, which is malpractice. Sorry, it's just a thing here in Florida.
Although we had to cause a tremendous stink that went on for months. The whole Netroots rose up about this until Rahm Emanuel had no choice but to fire her.
Right. Yeah. She was just horrible.
Well, then Obama came in and made her the head of the DNC.
Of course he did. And this brings me, all right, so to the next thing, which is the hypocrisy. I'm always slamming Republicans for their hypocrisy, but today Nancy Pelosi gets the Hypocrite Award of the Year. She endorsed Joe Kennedy over Ed Markey today.
Joe Kennedy the third. You know what? If Markey was smart, he is smart.
He is smart.
If he wants to follow my advice, but he's probably too smart to do that. If he wants to follow my advice, what Markey would do now is do an ad campaign saying that Nancy Pelosi has just endorsed Joe Kennedy III, because that would get Markey more votes than it would get Kennedy.
It probably would. And
well, I'm sure it would. I'm positive it would. Nancy Pelosi's endorsement is the kiss of death, the same way that Trump's endorsement has become the kiss of death, and that McConnell's endorsement is the kiss of death. McConnell is smart enough not to do it. He knows how toxic he is. Pelosi is unaware. She's in a dream world. You know, yes, there are some. I don't want to offend anybody, but there are. I'll just say people.
Okay.
There are some people who think she's just swell.
Oh yeah.
And that.
Oh yeah.
They may be swayed by her. But that's a very, very, very small number of people. And there is a much, much larger number of people, both Democrats and especially independents, who hate her. And if she says go this way, they go the other way.
Right. So but I
did a poll on Twitter. It's just a few hours into a 24-hour poll, but it's not even close. It's the last time I looked, it was 70% of the people said that she would harm Joe Kennedy with her endorsement.
Wow. Oh, that's interesting. But she's not so self-aware that she knows that. There's no, 11-level chess strategy here. She endorsed Joe Kennedy because she's a hypocrite, because she has spent the better part of this cycle backing up Jerry Bustos and her ridiculous policy that you're not allowed to primary an incumbent. And here, Nancy Pelosi is going against her own policy. Excuse me? What the fuck?
Well, people are saying, yes, but Joe Kennedy's in the House. Okay.
So?
But where did Markey come from? He was also in the House
for
many, 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 many years. More years. than Joe Kennedy was, and worked side by side with Nancy Pelosi. So, you know, she's a hypocrite. You're right. That's what she is, a hypocrite.
So AOC, once the news broke today that Pelosi was doing this, and by the way, Chuck Schumer has endorsed Ed Markey, go figure. And so, well, he's the incumbent, so I guess he has to. But this is the first time, I guess, Schumer and Pelosi have been at odds supporting different candidates. But AOC tweeted, no one gets to complain about primary challenges again. So, DCCC, when can we expect you to reverse your blacklist policy against primary orgs? Because between this and lack of care around Ilhan Omar's challenger, it seems like less a policy and more a cherry-picking activity.
That's right. And which, you know, I mean, I can't imagine that AOC didn't know that from the very first day it was announced.
Of course.
You know, everyone I know wrote about that then. I mean, it was always a cherry-picking policy.
Right.
It was never going to be anything except that.
Yeah, but this, I mean, it just underscores, again, the hypocrisy of it all. And I'm sorry, Nancy Pelosi, the tiny bit of patience I had with her has worn off. It pisses me off. I don't know if you've been watching the convention, Howie. Have you?
Are you kidding? I mean, I watch highlights that I want to see, like Bernie's speech and AOC's
Bernie was
speech.
Great.
But you think I'm going to watch that drivel?
No, I don't. But I'll tell you something. I'm watching it because it's my job. I do it so you don't have to, so listeners don't have to. And it was infuriating the other night, knowing that they gave AOC a minute. Good for her. She took almost two. You know, she got almost a minute, but they have time for John Kasich, for the Whitman twins. I know they're not sisters, but Meg Whitman and Christy Todd Whitman, to me, they're sisters. And Susan Molinari, do you even remember her? She was a backbencher congresswoman.
I remember her very well. She was, aside from being a congresswoman from Staten Island,
right.
She had a fake marriage to a gay Republican congressman who needed a beard, and
oh
she decided to let herself be the beard. And the day that the both of them left Congress, suddenly there were, you know, they went their separate ways.
How interesting. Wow. So it's even doubly offensive that they brought her on to speak. Now, I did speak with somebody yesterday.
These Republicans for Biden, it's not like they're, you know, suddenly adopting all these democratic values and principles. That isn't what's happening. They just don't like Trump. And, you know, they say, well,
right.
Who's the real conservative in this race?
Right. It's Biden.
And they're correct. They say Biden is the real conservative, and Trump's not really a conservative. Trump is a fascist.
Yeah.
Fascist and conservative aren't the same things.
No, they're not. No, but they won't even admit that fascism is bad, because if you're an anti-fascist, as I am, then you're a fascist, because that's how Trump thinks, right? Because he's a moron. I just can't. Again, too many Republicans, although I did speak with a Republican yesterday who said it does help him because he's now a former Republican because of Donald Trump. He's a vet who's not getting his meds because of the bullshit that they're pulling with the post office. So, that, you know, this is one of many. I guess there are a number of disaffected Republicans who the you know, Joe Biden's people think they can win over. But this is what disturbs me. Instead of reaching out to the progressive wing of the party and nurturing us a little bit, they're ignoring us, they're dissing us, and they're going after the Republicans. It's like, you know, MSNBC these days, which is no longer the alternative to Fox. It's now the escape for the never Trumpers from Fox. That's what MSNBC is now.
And I heard what they're going to do, just the same way that they have Rachel Maddow sort of overseeing the whole evening section.
Yeah.
That they're going to let I forgot her name. She worked for Bush, and she's
Nicole Wallace. Nicole Wallace.
Yes. Be in charge of the whole afternoon section.
Oh, how interesting. Right. Again.
I mean, and if you notice, she's always bringing on all her Republican cronies.
All of them.
I know.
All of them. And so this is the new home for the never Trumpers, for disaffected Republicans. And my issue with them is you screwed up your own house. You don't get to come into ours and screw up ours too. Get your own house in order. If you want to come over here and become a Democrat, there are many Republicans who've changed, who've become Democrat. That's fine. But don't bring your bullshit right-wing ideas here to get rid of Medicare and Social Security and, you know, no. We don't want that. That's not what we're about.
That is exactly what they're doing, and Democrats played right into it by putting Joe Biden in as our candidate.
I know. Well, you have a post coming up in just a couple of minutes at downwithtyranny.com titled, "Is the Big Tent So Big That the Party Has Become Meaningless as Anything More Than a Vehicle to Save the Country from Trump?" Good question, and it seems not. I mean, or seems yes. However, it's double negative there. But yeah, it's not about, going for Medicare for all. It's not about fixing the problems that are facing us. It's about, all right, let's open the door and make the tent bigger so those disaffected Republicans can come in and feel at home here.
That's exactly what's happening. And then I'm sure you saw that thing by, Ted Kaufman, who's Biden's closest political ally.
Yes.
In fact, when Obama picked Biden to be his vice president, Kaufman took over for a short time, took over Biden's Senate seat. And Kaufman, is part of the transition team. He's very, 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 he's as close as you can be to Biden and not be family. He's practically family.
Right.
In any case, this morning, the Wall Street Journal quoted him as saying, "The pantry is bare.
Yep.
There's no money for any of these big programs." And he basically was saying, "We are going to run an austerity regime."
I railed against that at the top of the program, and I mentioned I just got Stephanie Kelton's book that I'm trying to, speed read through to get her on, because she spoke up on Twitter today and said, "Oh, no, 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 the cupboard is not bare. This is a flawed message." And so we need to drive that home, because, sorry, that's just bullshit.
Yeah, well, you know what? Her tweeting worked. It wasn't just her. There were others, but her tweeting was loud. And,
yes, it was.
And listen to. And Biden started backpedaling, and his campaign started trying to say, "Well, that's Ted's opinion," but they never really, really, truly, pledged that they're going to do anything. They just tried to, say, "Let's go back to a zero slate."
Right.
In other words, yes. Yes, they will not be doing the Green New Deal, and yes, they will not be doing Medicare for all, and yes, they will not be doing anything that the Democrats who are putting him in the White House want him to do. But hey, that's the way it goes.
Right.
We're a bunch of stupid suckers.
Right. And so, I'm trying to put my faith in Bernie and AOC and say, okay, I'm going to be with them. They've been driving home the fact that, yes, we need to remove Trump and his cronies from office. We got to do that. That's sort of separate and apart from the Biden issue. The Biden issue is, day one, we're on his back, pushing him to, do things. And no matter who is elected, we're going to be fighting them. I'd rather fight Biden than fight Trump. But boy, we got to bring him a fight.
Yes. Yes, I agree with you. We have to give him a fight. I'm not, as you know, I'm not going to vote for him.
Nope,
I could not do it. There's nothing that would make me vote for him. But I don't try to persuade anyone else not to vote for him. Not in my heart, not in my head, nowhere do I think someone shouldn't vote for him if they want to do it.
Yep.
If you want to vote for him, not just you, anybody, vote for him.
Right. And, I had Norman Solomon on the show last Friday. He came on and we talked about the whole vote Trump out campaign. And, I'm right there with them. By the way, tomorrow on the program, Wendell Potter is returning. Do you remember Wendell Potter? He was.
Of course I remember Potter.
Right.
He was saying something the other day to indicate that there's never been a Medicare for all oriented PAC. Well,
yep.
Of course, Blue America has had one for many, many years, and we collect money not for ourselves, but for the candidates who are running and have pledged to run on Medicare for All.
Right.
So they can't just say, yes, I back Medicare for All, they have to actually be out there campaigning on a Medicare for All message.
Gotcha.
And those candidates we collect money for on the Blue America Medicare for All page. And here's Wendell Potter, who I hope he's not, you know, going to, I mean, I trust Wendell Potter. I think he's going to do the right thing. But a lot of times people start these PACs and they turn into get-rich-quick things for
them. I don't see that as him. I mean, I've known Wendell for 10 years.
I don't
years,
see it so. Either, but he ought to be aware that he's not the first one who's doing this.
I will let him know. But I think I don't think he was doing it to diss what you're doing, but he is all about healthcare and he's starting this new group and to get Medicare for All back on the front burner, because certainly Biden
and
is
we often
taking
use
it away.
His messaging, and I use his videos. Uh-huh. I respect what he says. I use his op-eds. I just hope he knows what he's doing when it comes to running a political action committee, which is different from what he's been doing.
Right.
And what he totally needs to understand is that what he has to do is be very, very careful in vetting candidates. Get the right candidates. Don't get phonies. There are lots of them. And don't just tell them what I'm telling you. Don't just try to get as many people as you can who you think you might have heard they may possibly be for Medicare for All.
No, that's not good
enough. You want people who you don't have to push into it. You want people who are pushing you. You want people who are pushing with everything they've got for Medicare for All, not people who, well, maybe they could be roped into it.
Right.
And then whatever money is raised has to be going directly to them. That's what's important, that the support goes to the candidates, not to build an operation.
Sure.
I pray to God every PAC that started in a good way, that then made some cockamamie story up to themselves that they're going to build a great operation and take over America, they've all turned into crap, starting with Emily's List, but all of them.
I hear you. All right, Howie, we are just out of time. I will run all that by Wendell tomorrow. Thanks, Howie. I'll see you next week. Bye. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everyone. And yeah, Wendell Potter will be here tomorrow. See you then.